Okay, so we're recording. So this shiur, tonight's shiur, is being sponsored by the Bernstein Mishpacha, Toby and Beverly, Lezecher Nishmas, Reb Michoel ben Ephraim Zatzal. Thank you very much. The neshama should have an aliyah. This is Toby's father. We're continuing now discussing topics of Purim, topics related to the Daf Yomi and related to the upcoming Chag Purim coming up in a few months. I chose tonight a topic that I was very interested in researching. It's a fascinating topic that we'll see why it's not practically observed today, but the concepts behind it are fascinating, and we'll learn the ins and outs of something that we recently had in the Daf Yomi for those that are following along. And otherwise, I'm going to present all the related sources, the relevant sources, and we'll be able to learn the sugya together. So the Mishnah says, and this is the beginning of the second parak of Megillah, the Mishnah has a whole list of halachas about how to read the Megillah. So the Mishnah says, number one, Hakoriyasa Megillah lemafreya lo yatzah. If a person reads the Megillah backwards, he's not Yotze. So now, it doesn't just mean reading it backwards, literally, as if you read the words backwards. What it means is, as the Gemara explains, imagine if you miss a pasuk in the Kriyas Megillah, so you wouldn't be allowed to just continue reading the Megillah and then make up that pasuk afterwards, because then you'll be reading it backwards. So I guess a better translation would be to read it out of order. The Gemara gives another example, which might be a common example. Imagine if someone comes in late to the Kriyas Megillah and they miss the first few psukim of the Megillah. So they say to themselves, okay, better late than never. So I'll listen to the remainder of the Megillah and then I'll go back later and I'll read the first few psukim that I missed. So the halacha is you wouldn't be yotze with that because you're reading the Megillah, quote unquote, backwards or out of order. And therefore, you would not be yotze. The same thing applies, by the way, to Kriya Shema. If a person is reading Kriya Shema and a doubt creeps into your mind, if I said this verse properly, so you wouldn't. You're not supposed to just continue reading and then go back and refit and fix whatever mistake you made before. You have to continue reading from that point on in order that the recital of the Kriya Shema should not be backwards, should not be out of order. In any case, the Mishnah says, one who reads the Megillah out of order is not Yotze. Kara al peh. If a person reads the Megillah by heart, which means that you're not reading it from a kosher Megillah, so you would not be Yotze. That's also a very relevant halacha. I think we mentioned it last week. If you're following along with the Chumash, then you should be careful not to read along with the Koyre, with the Chazan, because then you might be following your own kriya, which is considered baal peh, because you're not reading it from a kosher klaf. You should just use the chumash to supplement. If you miss a word, you can insert, you can fill in the word in order, not backwards. Because as long as the majority of the Megillah was read from a kosher Megillah, it's okay. So if a person reads the Megillah baal peh, which means by heart, not from a kosher Megillah, so he's not yotze. Kara targum b'choloshin layotze. The next halacha, the final halacha there, is if you read the Megillah in another language, you're not Yotze. And we're going to get back to that. But then the Mishnah says something baffling, Aval Koren Aysa Balas. But you are allowed to read the Megillah in a foreign language to those that speak that foreign language. So there's an inherent contradiction here. First, the Mishnah says if you read the Megillah in a foreign language, you're not Yotze. And then the Mishnah immediately says, Toich Kedei Dibur, immediately the Mishnah says that if you read the Megillah in a foreign language to those that speak the foreign language, you are Yotze. So that the Gemara is going to clarify that. The Mishnah concludes, Haloyez Shashama Ashuris Yatze. A foreigner who hears the Megillah in the original Ashuris, in the original language of Hebrew, is Yatze. So this is an amazing halacha that the Hebrew is considered an intrinsic language. So since the Hebrew is an intrinsic language, it has validity whether you understand it or not, because Lashon Kodesh is inherently a language. The words The words inherently have meaning. So if you're sitting there listening to the Megillah read in Hebrew, even if you have no idea what each word means, you still fulfill the obligation. The Gemara says a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that that's still a fulfillment of Persume Nisa. You're still publicizing the miracle and hearing the story, even if you have no idea what the Megillah is referring to, because people who are standing in the shul, they're bound to ask their neighbor afterwards, you know, what was the story? People, it's going to prompt the discussion about what Purim is all about. So we fulfill the concept of Persume Nisa that way. So now, let's analyze the these two contradictory halachas of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you read the Megillah in a foreign language, you're not Yotze. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that if you read the Megillah for a foreigner in a foreign language, then you are Yotze. So what's going on? So the Gemara explains. This is item base. Heichi dami, what does it mean that you're reading the Megillah in a foreign language? Ilema, if it means diksiva mikra v'kari le'targum, if the Megillah was written in Hebrew and the reader, the makri, is reading the Megillah from the Hebrew and he's translating it into English, like in the old days, the mitargim, right? So he would be reading it in the Hebrew, but to the audience, to the congregation, he would be saying it over in English. So hainu al peh. So the Gemara says that would be considered reading it by heart. It's fascinating because the actual words that you're saying, imagine you're reading it in Hebrew and you're simultaneously translating it to the audience into English. You're converting it into another language. So you're reading it with your eyes in Hebrew and you're projecting the English to the audience. So the Gemara says that's essentially by heart because the words that you're relating to the congregation are not the actual words that you're reading from the klaf. So what they're hearing, you're saying baal peh. So if the case was that it was written in Hebrew and you're translating it simultaneously into a foreign language, hainu al peh. For all intents and purposes, you're reading it by heart because the words that we're hearing are being said by heart. So the Gemara says the Mishnah must mean lo tzricha d'ksiva targum. It was written in targum. It was written in a foreign language. And you're reading it from the foreign language, and it says that you're not Yotze. So the Gemara establishes that the first halacha was that you're not Yotze, even though the Megillah was written in that foreign language. Otherwise, it would simply be by heart, and of course you're not Yotze. The Megillah was written in a foreign language, and you're reading it in that foreign language. We're reading the Megillah that was written in English. We're reading it in English, and it says that the congregation is not Yotze. But then the Mishnah goes on to say, "Avol Koyrin Oisa Liloyazois Belatz," that you could read it in a foreign language, and you could be Yotze if you're a foreigner who understands that foreign language. So the Gemara asks the obvious kasha, "Baho Amrit," but didn't we just say, "Kara b'kol lashon lo yotze," that if you read it in a foreign language, you're not Yotze? So the Gemara explains, and here's the answer: "Holaydam ye'ela laha." So the Gemara cites a brisa, which gives us the key to understanding the Mishnah. Giftis ligiftim. So these must have been ancient languages. Giftis to giftim, ivris to ivrim, or ilnis to ilmim, or yevonis liyevonim, yotza, then your yotza. So the Gemara cites a brisa to clarify the ruling of the Mishnah. If you read the Megillah that was written in Hebrew, and you're reading it in Hebrew, then even if we don't understand the word of the Hebrew, we're Yotze. Because Hebrew is intrinsically considered a language, and we're all Yotze. If the Megillah is written in Hebrew, and you're simultaneously translating it to a foreign language, then nobody's Yotze, because that's essentially reading it by heart. The discrepancy in the Mishnah is as follows. If the Megillah was written in a foreign language, and you're reading it to a foreigner that understands that language, then they're Yotze. If you're hearing the Megillah that was written in English and you're hearing it in English and you speak English, then you're Yotze. That's the Seifa of the Mishnah. You can read the Mishnah to a foreigner in his foreign language because the listener, the audience, understands that language. But if you're reading the Megillah in a foreign language to someone that does not speak that language, then the halacha is they're not yoitza, because the foreign language only has value insofar as the listener understands the value. In contrast to Hebrew, a Megillah that's written and read in Ashuris, in Hebrew, that has intrinsic value, and the listener is yoitza even if he doesn't understand the Hebrew. And Amma Oretz would be yoitza even if he doesn't understand the Hebrew. But a foreign language only has value in so much that you understand that language. And therefore, you would not be yoitza if you don't understand the Megillah. If the Megillah is written in Spanish, and it's read in Spanish, and you don't speak Spanish, you won't be yoitza because it doesn't have any value. But if the Megillah was written in English and you understand English, then you would be yoitza. So the question was just posed, when the Megillah is written in the foreign language, what letters do you use? Do you use Ashuris? Do you use Hebrew letters and you transliterate it into the Spanish or into the English? Or do you use the English lettering? So that's a big machlekes. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that you use the English letters, and the Bir Halacha proves that most Rishonim would say that you use the English letters, because the whole point of writing the Megillah in the foreign language is that the foreigners would be able to understand and read the Megillah. So what good is it if you're using the Ksav Ashuris? How is that going to help anybody? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, so now I summarized it here in Dalid, in item Dalid. So it turns out that if the Megillah is written in Hebrew and you're translating it into a foreign language, that's considered reading it by heart, and nobody can be yotze with that. If it's written in a foreign language and you're reading it in that foreign language, then you would fulfill your obligation if you understand that language. And if you don't understand that language, you're not yotze. And this is all in contrast to the Hebrew. The Hebrew has the advantage that if you read it, a Hebrew written Megillah read in Hebrew has the advantage that everybody would be yotze that Kriya, even if you don't understand. Okay, so let's keep that on the burner. That we have a tremendous chiddush here, that there's a concept of writing a Megillah in a foreign language and reading it in that language and being yoitza by listening to the English written Megillah. So it's a fascinating concept. And like we mentioned before, we never saw such a thing, at least I never saw such a thing, of a Megillah written on a cloth with dio, with the kosher ink, written in a foreign language. Now, the Mishnah on Daf Ches Amid Beis, earlier on in the Masechta, again, teaches us this concept that Svarim, now Svarim means even a Sefer Torah, Svarim can be written in any language. Svarim could be written in any language. So imagine having a Sefer Torah that was written in English, right? In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Imagine if you would have a Sefer Torah written in English. So the Mishnah tells us in Ches Amid Beis that it's a kosher Sefer Torah. Now, tefillin and mezuzahs can only be written in Ashuris. There's a special pasuk, v'hoyu. It has to be k'havyason. It has to be the way it's written in the original Torah text. Tefillin and mezuzahs are the exception. But a Sefer or Svarim could be written in English, in a foreign language. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that even Svarim are only allowed to be written in Yevanis, in ancient Greece, ancient Greek. So you have a choice. According to Shimon Gamliel, you have a choice. You can write a Sefer Torah in Ashuris, in Hebrew, in the original, or you can write a Sefer Torah in Greek, in Yevanis. The Gemara tells us, it's a fascinating halacha, the Gemara tells us on Tes Amid Beis, Omer Avavo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha follows Shimon ben Gamliel, that you're only allowed to write a Sefer in a foreign language in Greek, in ancient Greek. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in my time with Rav Shimon Gamliel, what's the reason for Rav Shimon Gamliel? Why does he choose? What's unique about Greek over any other language? Omar Kro, because the Pasuk says, Yaft Elukim liyefes, v'yishkoin bi'ohol le'shem. So we know the story that when the great flood, when the Mabel was over, so Noah, he planted a vineyard, and Noah enjoyed the wine, and Noah was drunk, and he was uncovered in his tent. So Shem and Yefes, they went and they covered their father, as opposed to Ham, who degraded his father. Shem and Yefes, they covered and they stood up for the honor of their father. The Gemara tells us, the Pasuk is Mashma, and the Medrash tells us that Shem actually took the initiative to respect, to cover the father, and Yefes followed along. So when Noah realized what happened, so besides cursing Ham, but he gave a bracha to Shem and Yefes. And the bracha that Noah said was Yaft Elokim Yefes. Hashem should expand the beauty of Yefes, and Yefes should be allowed to dwell in the Olei Shem. So we darshin that the Dvarav Shel Yefes, that the words of Yefes, the language of Yefes, and the beauty of Yefes will be allowed into the Olei Shem, will be allowed into the tents of Shem. Now this historical blessing that Noah gave Yefes and Shem, it manifests itself in a few ways. Number one, the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was started, it was initiated, we had this not too long ago in Maseches Megillah as well, it was initiated with Koiresh, with Cyrus, and the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was actually completed under Darius II, who was a Persian king. So number one, the blessing that Noah gave, that Yefes should have a part of the Ohel of Shem, of the Beis HaMikdash of Shem, it manifests itself in the sense that Paras, that the Persians and the Greeks, they're from that relate, they're related to that mishpacha, they helped, they contributed towards the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Shimon Gamliel is teaching us another manifestation of this bracha, that Loshen Kodesh is the holy tongue, that's the holy language, and a sefer only has the kedusha of a sefer, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if it's written in Loshen Kodesh. However, the bracha of Noach decreed that the language of Yefes, which the Gemara tells us the choicest language was ancient Greek, this language also has the status of almost like a holy tongue. It has the status of inherently being a language, and Svarim are allowed to be written in Greek, and they assume the status of a Sefer Torah, even though they're written in Greek. So we have actually a Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanakhama says you can write a Sefer Torah in any language, and any language, even English, Spanish, any language that you write a Sefer Torah, it will assume the status of a kosher Sefer Torah. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that only Lashon Kodesh and only Greek, because Greek was given, was elevated, was promoted to the status of an inherent language because of the bracha of Noach, Yaft Elokim Yefes. By the way, this is the tragedy of the Hanukkah story, that Yefes, the Greeks, were meant to almost be partners, to be secondary partners in bringing out the honor of Hashem. Just like historically, Shem, which was the forerunner of the Jewish people, see, he took the initiative to dignify and to stand up for the honor of his father, and Yefes went along with it. He had a secondary role. He went along with it. So Noach promised Yefes that you'll always have a role, a partnership, although it's a secondary role, but you'll always have a share in the oil shel shem, in the Beis HaMikdash, and in the svarim. Your beauty, we can harness your beauty and your refineness and your taste for the finer things in life. We can harness that and incorporate that somehow into our service of Hashem. That can also bring about the honor of Hashem. The tragedy of the Hanukkah story was that the Greeks, they started using the beauty of this world, of the Gashmias, as an end unto itself. And then it became sort of like a break between the Yidden and the Greeks. And the Greeks went off and started worshipping the physical, as opposed to using the physical as a vehicle to bring out the Kavod Shamayim. They started worshipping the physical, and that became, the rest is history, so to speak. That was the story of Hanukkah, how they were trying to convert everybody to become Hellenists. That's the tragedy where Malchus Yavan became Malchus Yavan Harishah. But originally, the Greeks were meant to use, to harness their beauty and incorporate it into the oil of Shem. Okay, so that's, the Tanakhama says you can write a Sefer in any language, while Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can only write a Sefer Torah in Hebrew or in Greek. By the way, the Rambam says this halacha is no longer relevant for us because we no longer, unless you're you're a social, you're unless you study ancient Greek, we're not familiar anymore with the ancient language of Greek. So the Rambam says that this halacha, according to Shmuel, would lose its relevance because we don't have ancient Greek anymore. Okay, the Gemara tells us an interesting halacha. This is item Vav. Mikra shekosef targum and targum shekosef mikra. If you write the sefer in a wrong language, uksav ivri eino mitame yasiyadayim, it doesn't contaminate the hands until you write the sefer in ashuris ala sefer ubidyot. Now, what's this thing about contaminating the hands? It sounds like it's a bizarre halacha. What does contaminating the hands mean? So the Gemara Mesecha Shabbos tells us that one of the 18 decrees of Shammai and Hillel, which was actually meant to preserve the Sefer Torah, was that back in the day, if you would touch a Sefer Torah, you would have to wash your hands the way we wash for bread, the Tilas Yadayim. You would have to wash your hands before you touch Truma. If a Kohen wants to eat Truma, after touching the cloth of Svarim, of the Holy Svarim, you would have to wash your hands. And the reason for this halacha was actually a decree to protect the Sefer Torah. Because people used to keep their Truma and their Kadshim along with their Svarim, and the mice used to go and eat the Truma and nibble at the Sefer Torah and destroy the Sefer Torah. So ironically, in order to protect the Sefer Torah, they decreed that the Sefer Torah is actually Tamei, which means that you're not allowed to keep your Truma next to your Sefer Torah. So then people would no longer keep their food. They would no longer store their Sefer Torah in their cupboard. It sounds pretty strange to us. They would no longer keep their Svarim with their food, and therefore it would actually, in the long run, it would protect the Sefer Torah. So this is a concept that if you touch a sefer, it contaminates the hands. It sounds very strange, but the reason behind that halacha was that we specifically contaminated the svarim in order that, as a deterrent, that people would not keep food next to the sefer. So this concept that when you touch a sefer, it contaminates the hands, it now became an indication if it has the status of a sefer or not. Something that has the status of a kosher Sefer Torah or a kosher Sefer would contaminate the hands because it will be included in the decree that was meant to protect the holiness of the Sefer Torah. So ironically, they contaminated. If you touch the Sefer, you have to wash your hands. Something that anyway doesn't have the status of a kosher Sefer Torah does not contaminate the hands. So if something contaminates the hands, that means it has the status, the Torah, it has a Torah Sefer. If something does not contaminate the hands, then ironically, that means that it has less kedusha. It does not have the status of a sefer, and that's why there was no takana to protect the sefer, that it should be metame the yadai. So this brisa says that a sefer written in a foreign language does not have the status of a sefer. The way we know that is because it's not metame the yadai. So the Gemara tells us that that's speaking about a megillah. That's speaking about a Megillah. A Megillah has to be read in Hebrew because it says, Kiksavam ulkilshoinam. In the Megillah, it says that the Megillah has to be read in their ksav and in their lashon, which means it has to be read in Hebrew. So the Meforshim all explain that although we just finished saying that you are allowed to write a Megillah in a foreign language, and you are allowed to read the Megillah to people that understand that foreign language, nevertheless, the Kedusha of the Sefer is somewhat compromised, that it's not Mitame Yasayadai. So let's quickly review the facts that we've been saying, just to lay down the groundwork. The Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak tells us clearly that you are allowed to write a Megillah in a foreign language. And as long as you understand that language, you're allowed to read the Megillah and listen to the Megillah in that foreign language. A Megillah written in Hebrew has the advantage that you can be yotze the hearing of the Megillah even if you don't understand the Hebrew. But even a Megillah written in a foreign language is a kosher Megillah, and you can fulfill your obligation by listening or reading that Megillah, as long as you understand that language. The Gemara tells us in the first parak on Daf Ches Amud Beis that although you're allowed to write a Megillah in a foreign language, and you're allowed to be Yoitza, the Kriyas Megillah, in that foreign language, as long as you understand that language, nevertheless, the Kedusha, the Sefer, the Kedusha of the Megillah is a bit compromised that it's not Mitami Liadayim, indicating somehow that on some level it doesn't have the same status as a real Megillah. So even though you are allowed to use that Megillah and Biyotza in the foreign language, if you understand that foreign language, but the Megillah does not have the same status as a Megillah that was written in Hebrew, and the indication of that is the fact that it's not Mitame Esayadai. Those are the facts. That's what the Gemara lays down, that groundwork. Now, there's a big machlokes between Rashi and between the Ramban. This detail, that you can write a Megillah in a foreign language, and you can be Yotze listening to the Megillah in a foreign language, there's a big machlokes Rashi and the Ramban about the parameters of this halacha. Rashi says, and this is the word that was in the Mishnah that we started with, leloyazos. You can read the Megillah written in a foreign language to the foreigners. Rashi translates, what is a foreigner? Kol she'enu lashon kodesh nikra las. Anything other than Hebrew is referred to as laz. So Rashi says that the criteria to listening to the Megillah read in English is that you understand English, because a loyes is someone who speaks a foreign language. The Ramban says no. There's another condition. The only time you can be yotze a Megillah in a foreign language, says the Ramban in Item Ches, a loyes is someone who does not understand Hebrew. Like if we say a foreigner is someone who doesn't understand English. He only speaks Spanish. He only speaks a foreign language. If he speaks English also, says the Ramban, we wouldn't refer to him as a foreigner. A foreigner, a loyes, and the Ramban brings examples from the Seches Makis, a loyes is someone who does not speak Hebrew. So says the Ramban, there's a second condition. The only time you can be yotze listening to the Megillah in a foreign language, you must understand that language, A, like the Gemara says, and B, you must not understand Hebrew. If you could hear the Megillah in the original, then you're required to do so. The only time you can listen to the Megillah in a foreign language is if you don't understand Hebrew. Now, by the way, we mentioned before that even if you don't understand Hebrew, you could technically be yotze the Megillah listening to it in the original Hebrew. You could. But the Ramban explains they made a special compensation for those that don't understand Hebrew, that they can listen to the Megillah in their language, written and read in their language, in order that they should better understand the story of what they're listening to. They could be yotze in the Hebrew Megillah, but they're allowed to be yotze with the foreign Megillah. But if you understand Hebrew, says the Ramban, then there's no excuse, there's no justification to be using the foreign Megillah, and therefore you wouldn't be able to be Yotza with the foreign Megillah. So I actually quoted the Ramban. Let's learn the Ramban together in Item Tess. The way he puts down his opinion is very interesting. The Ramban explains his Shita. In Item Tess, I quoted the Ramban. Since we see from the Gemara in Daf Ches that foreign languages are not really kosher to write in the Megillah, because we just got through saying that a Megillah written in a foreign language, to a certain extent, is compromised, that it doesn't have that kedusha, it's not metame yaseyadayim. Afilu ledivrei ha'omer svar l'tov mikoloshen. Even if a Sefer Torah could be written in a foreign language, a Megillah can't be. It's not going to have the full status of a Megillah. K'di'isa perikama b'gemara, like we said in the first perik of the Gemara. So says the Ramban, amai machshirin bei b'pneishin yoyin b'boy. Why should we allow you to listen to the foreign Megillah just because you understand the foreign language? Yikru b'loshin kodesh. Read it in Hebrew. Because the Hebrew Megillah is a higher level Megillah. That Megillah has the full status of a Sefer. So lefikach, therefore pirish, therefore the Ramban explains, leloyazois, that the word loyes, which is a foreigner, haynu she'enu nyoidim b'loshen kodesh, they don't understand loshen kodesh, like it says in the Gemara in Makkos, haynu le'uzi, that there were once foreigners that came before Rava, and Rava put an interpreter between them. It's a whole sugya Maseches Makkos that the Sanhedrin has to be able to understand the language of the witnesses and of the litigants. You're not supposed to have a translator in between. That's why Mordechai, by the way, understood the Lashon of Bigson and Teresh, because he was from the Lishchas Hagazis,
and the Dayanim on the Sanhedrin were required to understand all the 70 languages just in case the litigants would come and present their case in a foreign language. So, says the Ramban, a loyes is somebody who does not understand Hebrew. Umipnei she'en yoidin ashuris, because this person doesn't understand the original Hebrew, afa pi she'yoidzin boi, even though you can use the Hebrew, bekoishi hetiru, with difficulty, the Chazal, they allowed, mishum de'ika mitzvahs kriya, because there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah, the ro'u chachamim persume nisib bi'adiyya mamish adr tfei, and the chachamim acknowledged that understanding the story while it's being read brings a greater persume nisa, it's a greater publicizing of the miracle. So they allow you to be yoitza in the language that you're familiar with. The oitz, says the Ramban, in order that you should be able to read the Megillah yourself if you don't know how to read the Hebrew. So they allowed you to be yoitza in the foreign Megillah. By the way, this is the Bir Halacha's proof that it does not have to be written with the Hebrew letters, because the Ramban says the reason you can be yoitza with the foreign Megillah is in order that you should be comfortable enough to read it yourself. So obviously it's being read, it's being written with the English letters. So says the Ramban, that's why you can be yoitza. Aval yodeya ashuris, but if you know the Hebrew, la'olam enu yoitza ela bashuris, you can only be yoitza with a Hebrew written, a Megillah written in the original Hebrew. So the Ramban, he explains to us that although the Mishnah says in the second parak that you can be yoitza with a foreign Megillah, but he refers us back to what it says in the first parak, that a Megillah written in a foreign language does not share the same sanctity as a Megillah that's written in Hebrew. So says the Ramban, it must be that it's a compromised Megillah. It's a compromise. The fact that you can be Yoitza in a foreign language is a compromise, because the Chachamim want the foreigner to enjoy the listening to the Megillah, learning about the story. It's a greater publicizing of the miracle. Presuming Nisa. But if you understand the Megillah in the original Hebrew, then you can't be Yoitza with a foreign Megillah. Now the Ran defends Rashi and the Rambam. The Ran argues on the Ramban. In item Yud, the Ran says, regarding the Kasha of the Ramban, my Kasha. Why? Because says the Ran says, what would the basis be? How would the Ramban know this? How would the Ramban know that you have to, that you can't be yoitza with the Megillah if you understand Hebrew? Says the Ran, kivat de masnisin rabbanan hi, because the Mishnah is the Rabbanan, like the Gemara says, and according to the Rabbanan, svarim, a sefer Torah, could be written in any language. So a Megillah also could technically be written in any language. Now, it's true that the Gemara has a miut, kiksavam ul kolshainam, that there's something special about a Megillah that's written in Hebrew, like it says in the first parak of Megillah. But it's a svara that whenever you have a pasuk, kilshoinam, kiksavim, or kilshoinam, you only have the right to minimize in the smallest way. Ein lecha boy elechadushoy. We only have the smallest chiddush. You can't jump and assume more than you have the right to assume. So had it not been for any exception, the Megillah would be exactly like a Sefer Torah, and you can write the Megillah in any language you want. Comes along the pasuk, kiksavim ul kolshoinam, and it minimizes that. So says the Ran, it's sufficient to minimize that you can't be yoitza the foreign Megillah if you don't understand that language. That's the contrast to a Hebrew Megillah. A Hebrew Megillah has the advantage that you can be yoitza even if you don't understand the Hebrew. And an English Megillah has the disadvantage that you have to understand the English. But says the Ran, what's the basis to require that, to stipulate that you're not, that you don't understand the Hebrew? What's the basis for that? There's no makar, there's no source for that. It's true that clearly a foreign Megillah is one step below a Hebrew Megillah. A Hebrew Megillah is metameis yadayim, it has the full status of a sefer. And a foreign Megillah doesn't have the full status of a sefer. But suffice the difference to be that a Hebrew Megillah works even if you don't understand the Hebrew, and an English Megillah only works if you understand the English. That's the contrast. Suffice that to be the contrast. What's the source? Where do we have a basis to say that there's another condition that you don't understand Hebrew? Where does it say that? As long as you understand what's being read, then you're yaitza. It's true that it's clear there's a difference between a Hebrew Megillah and an English Megillah. The difference simply could be that the Hebrew Megillah, you're yaitza without understanding the Hebrew. That's the advantage of Hebrew. An English Megillah only works if you understand the English. But where does it say that you don't understand the Hebrew? Maybe you have a choice. You could be yaitza in English, or you could be yaitza in the Hebrew. So we have over here a fundamental machlekes, an item yud aleph between the Ramban and the Ran. And I think the crux of the issue is this halacha that the Megillah written in English, let's say, does not have the full status of a Megillah. So that's the fundamental machlekes. According to the Ramban, a Megillah that's written in a foreign language does not have a din sefer at all. It really doesn't have a din sefer. That means that it's not really a kosher Megillah. Like we said, it doesn't contaminate the hands. It's not metameis yadayim. That's usually the litmus test to determine if it has the sanctity of a sefer or not. If it has the sanctity of a sefer, Chazal protected it by saying that you have to wash your hands after you touch the sefer. If it doesn't have the sanctity of a sefer, then you don't have to wash your hands after touching the sefer. So that's really the indication that it has the kedusha of a sefer. According to the Ramban, a Megillah written in English does not enjoy the status of really being a kosher Megillah. So says the Ramban, it's a special compensation for someone who doesn't understand the Hebrew. At least he can read a Megillah, the semblance of a Megillah, on his own, and he can understand the story as it's being read, for Sumei Nisa. But it doesn't really have the status of a Megillah. So if you could be Yoitza the Mitzvah in Hebrew, which means you can really use a kosher Megillah, so you can't fulfill your obligation with a pseudo Megillah, with a compromised Megillah, if you can really be Yoitza your obligation with a full-fledged Megillah. So the Ramban looks at it that technically everybody's chayiv to be yoitza the obligation from hearing a Megillah in a full-fledged kosher Megillah. If you can't, because you don't understand the Hebrew, so then you get a second best. The second best option is to hear it in a language written in your common language. You can at least be yoitza a smaller fulfillment of the mitzvah. But if you understand the Hebrew, then you're required to hear it from a full-fledged kosher Megillah. But the Ran holds that a Megillah written in a foreign language is considered a full-fledged kosher Megillah. The only disadvantage it has is that you have to understand what's being read. That's the only advantage that Hebrew has over another language. Hebrew is intrinsically considered a language even if you don't understand it. You have a concept that we learn how to read the Hebrew before we understand how to translate the Hebrew. Hebrew has an intrinsic value even before we understand what we're even saying. Other languages don't have any intrinsic value if you don't understand the language. That's the whole difference between the two Megillahs. But the Megillah is a kosher Megillah according to the Ran. In order to remind us of the halacha that you can't be yotze if you don't understand it, that's why the Chachamim say that it's not metame yasei yadayim. But according to the Ran, the Megillah written in a foreign language is considered to be a full-fledged Megillah, and as long as you understand it, you can be yotze. So the fundamental argument between the Ramban and the Ran is whether or not a Megillah written in a foreign language is not really a kosher Megillah, that would be the Ramban, versus the Ran, that a Megillah written in a foreign language is considered to be a full-fledged kosher Megillah, just you have to understand what's being read, because the whole value of that language is only if you understand that language. Now the Ran says an incredible thing. The Ran says that this is all true according to the Chachamim, that every Sefer could be written in English. But according to Rabban Gamliel, now we had it as Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so they actually corrected. This is the Lashon of the Ran. The Bach corrects it to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But be that as it may, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that Svarim can only be written in either Hebrew or in Greek, that's it. Other Svarim, a Sefer Torah, cannot be written in English. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, a Sefer Torah can only be written in either Hebrew or ancient Greek. Then the Ran agrees. The Ran confesses that the Ramban would be right. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Ramban would be right. Because since, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the only language that a Megillah is kosher is either Hebrew or Greek, if you want to write the Megillah in a foreign language, in English, clearly that's an exceptional license in order for people to hear the Megillah and understand the Megillah in their own language. And the Ran confesses, the Ran agrees to the Ramban that it would not have the status of a Sefer Torah. So the Ran has a very creative take on the sugya. Whether or not a Megillah written in a foreign language enjoys the status of a full-fledged kosher Megillah would actually depend if you hold like the Chachamim or you hold like a Shimon Gamliel. If you hold like the Chachamim, that every Sefer is allowed to be written in any language, so a Megillah is no different. A Megillah could be written in any language. The only difference between a Hebrew Megillah and an English Megillah is that you have to understand the English, in contrast to Hebrew, that it's intrinsically a language. But according to the Rav Shimon Gamliel, then the Ran concurs with the Ramban, that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds you're normally, ordinarily, you're not allowed to write another Sefer in a foreign language, only Hebrew or ancient Greek, but another language not. Why are you all of a sudden allowed to write a Megillah in English? It's not Hebrew or Greek. That's a special concession to those that don't understand Hebrew. So the Ran would concur with the Ramban in the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that you would have to, that you can only be Yotzi with a foreign Megillah if you don't understand the Hebrew because it's a special concession. So basically we have three opinions. According to the Ramban, a Megillah written in Hebrew has the status of a kosher Megillah. A Megillah written in a foreign language does not have the status of a kosher Megillah. It's a special concession to those that don't understand Hebrew. According to the Ran holds that it depends. If you hold like the Chachamim, that you're always allowed to write Svarim in a foreign language, then a Megillah is no different, and it has the full status of a kosher Megillah. But if you hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that you can never write Svarim in other languages, only Hebrew or ancient Greek, a Megillah written in English would not have the status of a kosher Megillah, and the Ran would agree with the Ramban that you could only use that Megillah if you don't understand the Hebrew. Now the Ramban, we touched on this last week, the Ramban brings an incredible proof to his opinion from the Yerushalmi. You can only be Yotza, a foreign language, if you don't speak Hebrew. Says the Ramban, the Yerushalmi says the following, and we actually touched on this last week. In item Yud Gimel, Rav Avohu b'shem Rav Elazar, Yodea Ashuris v'Yodea Laz. What if the reader, if the Baal Koire, he understands Hebrew and he understands English? Mahu sheyotzias acherim b'laz. Is he allowed to read an English Megillah for the English-speaking audience? He understands Hebrew. Says the Gemara, Savar Gehada. So says the Gemara, that Rav Shimon, that Rav Avohu holds the following, and we talked about this last week. Kol she'enu mechuyu bedavar, enu moitzias arabim yidei chayvasim. We spoke about this last week. Anybody who doesn't share the same obligation as you cannot be moitziyu. That's why you can't get a non-Jew to read the Megillah. He might be the best Baal Koiri in the world, but if he's not obligated himself in the mitzvah, he can't exempt us with his kriya. That's why a child reading the Megillah, it might not be good enough for an adult, because the child's obligation is less than the adult's obligation. So the one who's reading the Megillah, if he understands Hebrew, says the Yerushalmi, he cannot be the one to read the English Megillah for the English-speaking audience. Why? Because since the Baal Koire himself understands Hebrew, so he would not be able to use this reading for his own fulfillment of the mitzvah, so it doesn't count as a mitzvah vis-a-vis himself. So if you're not a Bar Chiyuva, if what you're doing doesn't count as a mitzvah for you, You can't use that act to exempt somebody else. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So says the Ramban, the Yerushalmi seems to be clear proof positive that if you yourself understand Hebrew, you cannot be Yoitza from the English written Megillah. And that's why the Yerushalmi takes it a step further, that even the reader, the Baal Koireh, if he understands Hebrew, now chances are he does, right? Because if he's expert enough to read it in the Hebrew, chances are he understands the Hebrew himself. So how could he be the Baal Koireh to read the English Megillah, the compromised Megillah, for the audience if he himself understands Hebrew? He himself would not be able to be Yoitzeh with that reading. And the Yerushalmi says, if you're not mechuyev bedavar, if you yourself are not obligated in the mitzvah that you're doing, you cannot use the mitzvah to exempt others because you're not obligated in that mitzvah. So says the Ramban, the Yerushalmi seems to be saying clearly like me, says the Ramban, that if you understand Hebrew, you cannot be yoitzeh in English. And that's why the Yerushalmi says that the Baal Koireh, who understands Hebrew, could not be the one to read the English Megillah for the English-speaking audience. Who should be the one to read the Megillah? Somebody who could be Yoitzi with that said Kriya. Somebody who doesn't speak Hebrew. Someone who doesn't understand the Hebrew. But if you yourself understand the Hebrew, you can't be Yoitza with that Kriya. Now the Ran argues. The Ran says that even if you understand Hebrew, according to the Chachamim, you could be Yoitza with the English Megillah because it has the full status of a kosher Megillah. What does the Ran do with the Yerushalmi? Perfect. The Ran admits that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that you're ordinarily not allowed to write other svarim in other languages. The Ran agrees that according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it's a compromise. It's not a kosher Megillah, and you can only be Yoitza if you don't understand the Hebrew. So the Yerushalmi could simply be going according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but according to the Chachamim, says the Ran, perhaps you could be Yoitza with the foreign Kriya, even if you speak, if you yourself speak Hebrew. Okay, so that's the layout of the sugyas and the machoikas between the Ramban and the Ran. Rashi and the Rambam hold like the Ran. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says like this, in conclusion. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafrei Tzadi, and he brings all of these halachas. Ha'iseksuva targum, ob lashon acheres, if the Megillah is written in a foreign language, lo yotzi yedei chayvasai, bikriyasa, you cannot fulfill your obligation reading that Megillah, ela hamakir oisa lashon bavat, only if you understand that language. That's something that everybody agrees on, that you have to understand that language in order to use that Megillah. That goes without saying, because the whole value of the language is only to the extent that you understand the language. Avalem ha'iseksuva biksav ivri, but if it's written in some other, in Hebrew, Vikara Aramis la'arami, and you translate it simultaneously as you go along to somebody into Aramaic or some other language, lo yotza, shenim sekara peh, because then it's like you're reading it by heart. Those are things that are clear in the Gemara. Vikilin shalay yotza ha'koiri, de'chaybas la yotza shemei mimenu, just like the koiri wouldn't be able to be yotza by heart, so the listener can't be yotza by heart either. That's something that everybody agrees on. If the Megillah is written in a foreign language, you have to understand the language. If it's written in Hebrew, you cannot translate it as you go into a foreign language. That would be considered reading it by heart. And in Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch continues, someone who understands the foreign language and also understands the Hebrew, Einu Yoytze Balaz, he cannot fulfill his obligation in the foreign language. Which opinion is that? That's the Ramban. The Ramban holds that you can't be Yoitza in a foreign language if you speak Hebrew. Why? Because the Megillah is not really a full-fledged Megillah. So why should you compromise your fulfillment if you can be Yoitza in the original? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Oimrim, but there are those who say that you're Yoitza even if you understand Hebrew, as long as the Megillah was written in a foreign language and you're reading it in that foreign language and you understand that foreign language as well, you can be Yoitza in the foreign language. That's the second opinion. That's the Yesh Oimrim. So who is that? That's the Rashi, and that's the Rambam. So it comes out with the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. They brings the Machoikas between the Ramban and the Rashi. So by the way, the style of the Shulchan Aruch is that whatever opinion he brings first is, in his opinion, the main opinion. So that would mean that he's really paskening like the Ramban, and he only brings the Rashi and the Ran as a Yesh Oimrim, those who say. So it would seem that the Shulchan Aruch favors the opinion of the Ramban, that it's only a special concession for someone who does not understand Hebrew. Now, in Sif Yud Aleph, and this is the Maskana, Yesh Limchas, we have to object. We can't allow Hakorim Lenoshim HaMegillah B'Lashon Las, that if you're reading for a woman, that woman is Lav Dafka, the woman is just as obligated as the man. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch says women is because in those days the women did not understand Hebrew. Nowadays, perhaps the women understand the Hebrew better than the men do. In those days, the women might not have understood the Hebrew. So there used to be a custom to read foreign Megillahs for the women and for the children. So says the Shulchan Aruch, nowadays we have to object. We can't allow that. We can't allow writing and reading foreign language Megillahs, even though it's written in a foreign language. So basically the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that we're no longer allowed to avail ourselves of this leniency that the Mishnah allows. The Mishnah Berurah explains, Tam HaDavar, the reason is, Bishum Dahagvarim, because the men who are reading the Hebrew, presumably, Yesh Lachash, we have to be concerned that they know the Hebrew. The men reading the Hebrew presumably understand what they're reading, or most of what they're reading. So we have to be Choshish for the Poiskim. That was the first opinion before the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban, that if you understand Hebrew, you can't be Yotze with the foreign language. So how could the man who understands Hebrew read the English Megillah for the Nashim or for the Amoratzim who don't understand the Hebrew? They would like to have an English Kriya. But how could the man who's reading it in the English, he understands the Hebrew, he wouldn't be able to be Yotze according to the Ramban? That's the first objection that the Mishnah Berurah brings. That's one reason why the Shulchan Aruch disallows it. And the second reason that the Shulchan Aruch disallows it is because there are certain words in the Megillah that we ourselves don't understand what they mean. Achshtaronim b'nei ramachim, that we ourselves might not understand what they mean. So if that's the case, what are you going to do? We can't properly translate these words into English. And if we just read those two words in Hebrew, then you can't have a Megillah that's written in two different languages at the same time. That would certainly not be l'chatzchila. So that's why this minhag is no longer practiced, why the leniency of the Mishnah is no longer practiced to have an English-written Megillah and to read it to an English-speaking audience. Number one, we're afraid, we're chayshish for the shita of the Ramban. What if the reader himself understands Hebrew? See, he would not be able to use that kriya for his own fulfillment. See, he's not a mechuyav bedavar. He's not considered obligated. See, he can't be moitzi someone else with that said kriya. And the second objection the Mishnah Berurah brings is that we can't properly translate all of the Aramaic sounding words in the Megillah, all the ancient words of the different types of governors and officers, or the ancient words of the mule, the donkeys that they used, the animals that they used, that the riders went off with. We can't properly translate these words, and therefore we would have to write those words in Hebrew, and it's not lechatchila to have a Megillah written in two different languages at the same time. That's why we don't do this anymore. I saw an interesting objection in the Aruch HaShulchan that because we paskin that you could write the Megillah in the foreign language using the foreign lettering, we're not sure the proper way to make the foreign lettering. I was joking with someone the other day that, you know, on a typewriter or on a computer, so sometimes the T is bent on the bottom, sometimes it's straight on the bottom. Different people have different preferences how to make the letters. How do you make your A's? How do you make your Z's script? Do you write in script? Do you write in bold? How do you write? So we're not even sure the proper, is there an official way to write the foreign language? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that perhaps there's an official way to write the foreign language, which we're not baki in, and therefore perhaps we wouldn't be able to fulfill all the dikdukim, all of the nuances of writing the foreign letters properly. And that's another reason why you'll never see a foreign written Megillah. So if anybody ever sees a Megillah written in English or in Spanish on a cloth with dio, with a kosher Megillah written in a foreign language,
So I would be very interested to hear about it, to see it, because the Shulchan Aruch says that nowadays we don't do that anymore. Yes, and nowadays we have to write a Megillah in Ksavah. We have to write it in Hebrew in Ashuris because of the objections that the Mishnah Berurah explains. Okay, Yashikoyach, everybody.
Yashikoyach. Its conference is no longer.